Welcome to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to be talking to you about actually a bunch of different movies. We're going to talk to you all about our top favorite Disney princesses. And then also the ones we don't like very
much.
Yes,
this is all of them. We are ranking the official Disney lineup of princesses. Now, these are the Disney princess franchise. This is the list
the ones that who've been sworn in.
Yes, exactly. They have had their coronation into the Disney princess lineup.
Thank you. Coronation's definitely the word I was trying to find.
Totally. And I mean, like, if it wasn't for...
You're such a royal expert, Olivia.
Actually, so much not, but I do love Princess Diana documentaries.
That's all it takes.
Pretty much it.
Honestly, I feel like that's more qualified than, like, the people that E! News has on to, like, talk about the royal wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're like, oh, you have a British accent? You're our new correspondent.
Exactly, literally.
It's like, that girl probably has not lived in England or cared. It's that same girl all the time. She drives me crazy.
Yeah.
She's the
worst.
But,
like, she's doing work. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. She's running with her one niche market.
More than welcome on this podcast anytime.
Absolutely. Whatever your name is.
Almost anyone is.
realistically, anybody. But, yeah. So,
we prefer you to have something interesting.
we're gonna become royal experts in the next, like, you know, hour and a half ish.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Back.
Hopefully. There's no telling how long this is gonna be, but, like, we're hoping it'll be in the hour and a half range. We've really had a journey to get to this point. We started recording about 5 times, just to, like, let you in on the behind the scenes.
I really hope the computer will make it through. Yeah, Miranda's equipment may or may not start.
I spilled 2 tablespoons of cider on my laptop, and I'm truly just upset. There's also a fly in the room right now, so if you hear us, just, like, slowly. Oh.
Oh.
You didn't get it. So if you hear us, just slowly get, like, more and more perturbed. That's why.
Yeah, it's ginormous, and it, like, it would be fine. It, like, honestly, I wouldn't care if it was flying around the kitchen, but it's, like, right in our faces.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
I think we just, like, smell too good, you know?
I don't think so. I haven't showered in, like, a minute.
Great. Cool.
Yeah, so I'm trying that whole thing where, like, you know, you don't wash your hair, which, like, for blondes is, like, a big thing because we produce lots of oils in our hairs, and so I'm, like, using, like, dry shampoo and stuff, but, like, for me, I'm like, oh, if I don't have to wash my hair, I don't have to shower. So it's, like, turning into a thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
I smell like a princess all the time.
Ew.
Like a princess booty. Oh, okay.
Okay, whatever. That was weird. I don't know why you did that. That was really weird. Okay. I would like to, like, yes and that, but I just can't in good conscience. So anyway, yeah, we're going to go through our favorite and least favorite Disney princesses. The order that we're going to go in is a little bit interesting. We're going to go from, like, our least favorite to our most favorite. So, like, for a while, it's not going to be very fun, but then it'll get fun later, I promise. Maybe.
Depending on what you know, like, enjoy about our podcast.
So, Olivia, you sort of put together the methodology on this. You're really big on, like, research and science and whatever.
Yeah,
so, can you talk us through, like, the methodology here?
Absolutely. So, as per usual with our top 10 ranking podcasts, we use a 30-point scale. Each of us rate, there's 3 different sets of criteria. We rate from 1 to 10, and then whole numbers only, and then we rate, so we get a total out of 30 for each of us, and then we average the 2. So the total score for each princess will be out of 30. The 3 separate criteria are personal ratings, so
just like a gut check.
Yeah, how much you enjoy the princess.
Yeah.
Impact and message, and that includes their whole franchise, so kind of the success of the franchise, the success of the movies, if it's spawned.
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you right there. The next category literally says popularity/success of the franchise.
Impact and message, that's the story, my bad.
Okay.
So, like, what kind of, if it's a good message for little girls.
Yeah,
that kind
I thought
of thing.
Of that as, like, what the moral of the story is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, kind of the cultural impact it would have, like, on its target audience, I guess you could say. And then the last category, my bad, I clearly reread this, is popularity slash success of the franchise. So that's going to go into how much money the movie made, if it has a lasting franchise with spinoffs, live action movies, TV shows, anything like that. Critical.
Is it referenced in Descendants, you know?
Sure. Exactly. There's not a whole lot. But, there's a couple of them that I kind of like. The villains, like how good the all the other characters kind of are, that sure. kind of thing.
Different things like that. But for me, I think like my most, I don't know, it all comes together to show you like the real quality of the princess, and then we'll talk it through as well. So our lowest rated here with an overall 15 out of 30, which is a solid F, is Aurora from Sleeping Beauty.
Yes. So realistically, it kind of, I think this one kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So the original Sleeping Beauty movie featuring Aurora as the princess was released in 1959 by Disney. The worldwide box office total was only $51.6 million, but according to my sources, which were mostly IMDb, adjusted for inflation, it made $623.65 million, but this
pretty
number,
good.
Yeah, it is pretty good, but it kind of confused me. I think it had several releases. I guess this was a thing back in the day, but to have several like theatrical releases for these movies.
Yeah, because I mean, like, not everyone had TVs, color, etc., things like that. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
A really high critic consensus with 90% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like
shocking.
Pretty high, yeah, considering this movie. The overall consensus was this Disney dreamscape contains moments of grandeur with its lush colors, magical air, one of the most menacing villains in the Disney canon, which I totally agree with. The only reason why I kind of liked this movie. I didn't like the movie. The movie's really boring. The music kind of sucks. But, and Aurora was definitely overshadowed by the most iconic villain in this movie, which was Maleficent. And she had her own spinoff, which grossed $758.5 million worldwide against a $180 million budget. It's an amazing movie. It has better themes and storylines. It was really good.
Also, Maleficent's always played by really, like, cool people, like Angelina Jolie in Maleficent, Kristen Chenoweth in Descendants, you know.
Yeah, it's very good. Maleficent 2 actually began filming on May 29th, 2018, so they're making another one.
That was,
her castle's also featured at Disneyland, but
Sleeping Beauty, not Maleficent.
Yeah, Sleeping Beauty's castle, but it's really tiny. If you've ever been to Disney World, you know, like, the Cinderella's castle at Disney World is ginormous. Like, it's huge. And when you go to Disneyland, it's like, oh, it's like a baby. It's like a pocket-sized castle. So, that kind of sucks.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
I was at Disneyland on Friday. It was a lot.
Was it hot?
But, yeah, oh, my God. It was 115 degrees.
Yeah, that was the day it, like, actually got nice, Missouri. It was, like, 80. It was
beautiful. 100. And 15.
Was there a lot of people?
No. Mm. Which was good. But nice. It was, like, so miserable. We bought, like, one of those little squirt gun fanny things.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? Fan things that, like, squirt you. Anyway. It was great. That thing was great. Otherwise, it was horrible. I thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I got a corn dog. I'm going to talk about it on the mini-sode.
Oh, okay.
You'll have already heard that.
My overall thoughts about Aurora and Sleeping Beauty is, overall, I don't love the story of Sleeping Beauty. Her character only has about 18 lines in the entire original movie. It sends a message that when a woman tries to take some control over her own life and destiny, she gets in trouble and a man needs to save her, which is not a great message. Maleficent is definitely more memorable as a villain, and the success of that franchise, I think, really kind of boosts the success of the Sleeping Beauty franchise.
Yeah. Some notes that, I have on this is mainly, a quote from Walt Disney. He actually, says that Aurora is a very layered character, literally saying a very layered character, which is kind of shocking. He described her as different. She's calm, yet she's playful. She has a sense of humor, and she has an imagination. And I don't really understand, where he was able to, convey that, because I feel like she just had no personality.
Yeah.
But in comparison to Snow White and Cinderella. Like, maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
She doesn't really, like, have any autonomy. Like, she doesn't get to make any of the decisions herself. Like,
and when she does try to make decisions, she, like...
They're not good.
Yeah, she gets fucked. Not literally.
But, yeah, so everything is happening around Aurora while she's just taking a nap.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Which might be your life goal, but...
It would.
Yeah.
To go to sleep one night and wake up to a guy who wants to marry me.
It would be so creepy. He's just, like, standing over.
I mean, it would. Like, but, oh my God, it's yeah, Brody. Especially... Yeah, exactly. It's every day. Every day,
bro. Get it? That's about all I have to say about Aurora. All
right. So she was solidly ranked with only 15 points at number 15. Number 14 has a score of 17.5, and that is Merida from Brave. The movie was...
I feel kind of bad about this. I just need everyone to know. I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't think the movie is greatly... was, like, well-received.
No.
And that's the problem.
Like, I think Merida is probably a good character and a fine princess, but, like, you can have as inspiring of a character as you want, and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if no one watches the movie.
Exactly. And that was my point with a couple of these. It's, like, it doesn't matter how, you know, like, it could be a wonderful character and have the best message, and, you know, if nobody cares, nobody cares.
Yeah, literally, I was like, what's Brave? Like, I forgot.
And it's a Disney Pixar movie, which is interesting, too. Mm. So it's a 2012, it was released in 2012. Worldwide box office total was $539 million against $185 million budget. Rotten Tomatoes score was 78%. The critical consensus was Brave offers young audiences and fairy tale fans a rousing, fun fantasy adventure with a distaff twist and surprising depth. Mm. I watched this movie on a Disney cruise. So, like, I very vaguely remember it. Like, I remember watching it and, like, being kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
It actually did win one Oscar, which was for Best Animated Feature. And Brenda Champion was the director of the movie. But I believe she was taken off of the movie, like, halfway through because of clashing opinions. But she was a female director.
Was that with John Lasseter or no?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we sort of talked about
that. Yeah, we've covered that briefly in our John Lasseter diatribes.
Yeah, many of them. They're in the minisodes. Go listen. It's fine. But I don't know. Like, Brave, to me, it just doesn't really stand out as, mm-hmm. like, an overall, like, that compelling of a movie. I remember it being really weird. Like, I don't really remember the plot, but I just remember it being very strange.
Yeah, and I think because it's set in Scotland, I think.
Yeah, I also think, like, Merida's also not really a traditionally, like, beautiful princess. And honestly, I think that has a reason with, like,
for sure.
why so many people don't really care, like, haven't seen it, and it doesn't apply. Like, little kids don't really see it the same way, things like that.
Yeah, well, and
which
she...
Which sucks to say, but, like...
Well, and you're kind of, like, isolating your audience a little bit, too, by making it, like, not that, like, any other, not that none of the other areas are, like, smaller population sizes, but there's not a ton of Scottish people.
And they don't
Scottish
have, like,
people.
Accents and stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Which, like, I do respect that they decided to go with the accent, because there's so many times that, like, they don't, and it's a little... off-putting.
Yeah, it's weird. There is, like, a commitment to authenticity here
mm-hmm.
that I find
yes.
really, like, refreshing and nice.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think, like, that, like, commitment to authenticity makes it so different from any other
yeah, it definitely
princess
stands
movie
out.
Where it doesn't feel like
yeah,
it belongs.
It's definitely an anomaly of, like,
yeah.
the Disney princess movie. She doesn't feel like a princess because she's really tomboy-y. It definitely sits apart. And not tomboy in the same way that, like, Mulan is tomboy, because Mulan maintains, like, a lot of femininity throughout the movie, even though she is, like, basically trying to be a man.
Yeah.
And it's just not there with this one. And there's no sequels, no spin-offs, no adaptations, no nothing.
No
which
rides.
Which is still pretty... Yeah, no rides. Which is still pretty new, but for me, it definitely was not one of my favorite princess movies.
Yeah.
But
I
like the message. It inspires girls to go against the grain. It offers a bit of support for girls who might have a complicated relationship with their parents, and it might be different from other members of their family, which is totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the movie isn't great, the impact can't be as lasting, and the coming release of Frozen in 2013 probably didn't help too much.
No. Yeah, that's what I was literally about to bring up, was
it's a little
like
overshadowed.
Any like any, what's the word? Like, any velocity or, yeah, what is the word that I'm trying to think of? Anyway, like, any of that.
Momentum.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Velocity and momentum are related.
Yeah, so any momentum that Brave would have been able to, like, get, I feel like was really overshadowed by Frozen, easily.
Yeah,
and
for
also
sure.
Probably, like, Disney's marketing efforts and mm-hmm. things like that. Like, everyone was really much more focused on Frozen.
Well, and I think
they should be.
But yeah, and which is crazy because, as we'll later talk about, Frozen had a $150 million budget and Brave's was $185
million. That's so interesting.
But, like, I think the
money... But Frozen was in Pixar.
Yes, that's true. However, I think the money was allocated... Obviously, the money was allocated very differently. I mean, yeah, you have Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel as the two... You know, I think you... It was more character-driven and, like, popularity-driven yeah. movie versus this one was obviously more sticking to historical references and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Also, like... What was I going to say? No, I don't know. Okay. Also, as we know, Pixar, once they finish a movie, they just throw away all their computers
exactly.
and have to buy all new ones for the next one.
Of MacBooks somewhere that...
Yeah. In a dumpster in Burbank,
bin. Yeah, somebody... Yeah. I thought the Pixar stuff was all in Anaheim for some reason.
I think it's in Burbank. Okay. I don't think they really have anything in Anaheim other than the
parks.
For some
reason, I totally thought,
parks.
Like, there was a Disney... there was an animation studios in... Anyway. But yeah, there's definitely a big old trash bin in, or like maybe, you know, one of those pods, like just with like stacks and stacks of MacBooks.
Maybe
them.
They like donate them to like underprivileged schools.
Something.
That would
be
nice.
Fantastic, but I don't know if I'm like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That would be so cool to just be like in your computer lab and be like, this computer made Moana, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, for sure. That would be amazing.
Anyway, what's next?
So, number 13, with a score of 19, was Snow White from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah.
This was the very first Disney princess movie from 1937, so a long time ago.
Yeah, and I think that...
81 years ago?
Dang. What?
It was 81 years ago?
Okay. I also ranked this a little bit lower than you did. I gave it an 18. I think you gave it a 20. So it's still pretty low. Yeah.
I give it some bonus points for... I give it extra credit because it was the first Disney princess movie. So if it wasn't for her success, the other princesses might not have followed.
Yeah. And a lot of the issues that I have with Snow White... Like, I was clear to say this in my notes. It doesn't really make that much sense. But I was clear to say, like, it's not really her fault. I think, like, a lot of these older princesses have zero personality. And Snow mm-hmm. White's no exception. And I think that obviously says a lot more about the men who wrote these characters and the environment that they were in than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And like now in 2018, we're much more open to compelling and dynamic female characters. And like for that reason, the newer ones are better. Like that
exactly.
is also my argument against like
kind
anyone
of the sign of the times.
Calling like recency bias in this podcast. Because mm-hmm. like spoiler alert, it's going to be fairly like recency biased.
Yep.
But that's because like things have changed. Like there's like so much time in between these older movies mm-hmm. that where things were changing and like the environment for writing female characters was just not very good.
However,
and the representation in the rooms too.
The critical consensus on these earlier princess movies was like way higher. They're so well rated. This Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was 98% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. The critical.
Yeah, but I think all those reviews were done like in the time, you know.
I think there were fewer
movies and people like
because
didn't care as much.
But I don't think they're like pulling. I think
they are. I think they pull from like newspapers and publications and things like that, like from the time.
I mean, okay, so this.
I'd like to look that up, but I believe yeah. that they would do contemporary ones.
The consensus was with its involving story and characters, vibrant art, and memorable songs. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs set the animation standard for decades to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it had one Oscar nomination. The Lifetime movie gross was $418 million. This is across the original release and several additional. So I don't know if, I don't think that's actually, I don't think it's actually adjusted for inflation because it was released like several years later. So the inflation would have to be adjusted several times. But there have been no live-action films released. However, in March 2016, Walt Disney Studios announced a film in development called Red Rose, a live-action spinoff from the perspective of Snow White's sister. Also in
October... Did Snow White have a sister?
Well, I guess they're making her one. Okay, weird. Also in October 2016, a live-action feature-length Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was announced by Disney. So I don't know if they're going to put out both or just one or what's happening.
They also did, like, Snow White and the Huntsman with, like, mm-hmm. Kristen Stewart. And
yes,
like that,
and
right?
I completely forgot to even... Because I don't think that one was
actually
Disney.
Actually, weren't there
Disney?
Two of them?
Yes,
there was,
there was
like
a
Snow White and the Huntsman, and then like another one too.
Yeah, it was a more Huntsman oriented one, but I was that.
I literally could not care less about a Huntsman.
But I don't know if they were actually Disney.
I mean, yeah, but they would have needed like the permission.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, anyway. They would have to buy that off.
Yeah. So, quick question: which of the Seven Dwarfs would you be, and why? Is it Sleepy?
I would definitely be Sleepy.
Yeah, I know.
I would have to be Sleepy because, like, I'm not dopey. I'm not a doc. I don't know what that is. And I don't... Sneezy. I don't have that bad allergies. Happy. I'm not. I can't remember the other ones.
That's fine.
But Sleepy because he... I, like, have a place in my heart for Sleepy because he's undiagnosed narcoleptic and, like, he should be on medication and I think it's very unfair that, like, you know, he's forced to be a coal miner and he has trouble just getting through the day and I think he deserves to sleep all day.
Yeah, I have trouble doing my very, like, not physically intensive job and getting through the day.
Oh, yeah,
so
I couldn't even imagine. That would be, that would...
I think you'd probably have more energy because you'd be used to it, but...
Yeah, that's true. But it's... Yeah, that's just definitely not the job feel mm-hmm. for me.
So one thing about Snow White is on Wikipedia, she's described as having a cheerful but naive demeanor, which, first of all, I don't understand why there's a but there. Like, just say cheerful and naive. I don't get it.
I think she's supposed to be really young, too, so yeah. Naive would kind of make sense.
Well, I guess. But honestly, like, to me, just, like, cheerful and naive, like, that's literally the most, like... baseline. That's how, like, any young girl ever would be described, you know? Like, and it's just, I don't know, it strikes me as really, like, sexist and lazy, and I just needed to point that out.
I also learned how to spell the plural of dwarfs, which is D-W-A-R-F-S. I thought it was V-S.
Yeah, I thought there was a V in there. There's not.
So, but my thing, my computer kept correcting me every time I typed dwarfs, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this? Mm-hmm. And apparently it's not dwarves, it's dwarfs. So that's cool. A good thing to know if you're ever in a spelling bee. Oh, also, Snow White and the Huntsman was made by Universal Pictures.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. But as we know, sometimes there's some flip-flopping and switcheroos, as we learned from the top 10 Disney Channel shows.
Yeah, what was that, Sister Sister or something that was like on all of them?
Recess.
Yeah,
yes,
thank you.
That was like tossed
all over the
place.
How quickly we forget. Like for people who have a podcast about remembering things, we're very forgetful.
But thank God we do have
podcasts. Thank God this is recorded.
And you can go back and listen to our podcast, you know.
I mean, ideally, like, don't. I was literally just telling Olivia earlier that our...
That one's a good one.
I listened back to our Liz McGuire episode, and, like, it's... The content is fine. Like, we're a little rusty, but it's fine. But, like, our sound quality is just so bad. And yeah. I don't even think it's that good now, but, like, it's way better. Like, we have come so far. And if you forget how far we've come, just go back and listen to our old ones. And take that, the person who rated us 4 stars on iTunes, I'm not happy with you.
Oh, I think that
I'm
was
not
me.
Happy with you.
Because
Olivia!
But I corrected it, and I don't think it corrected on there.
Yeah, no, it definitely still says we got a 4-star
okay,
rating. So please rate us on iTunes.
I tapped the 4-star.
How dare you?
It was a complete accident, and then it wasn't me, it was me from a friend's phone. I was starting to take my friend's phones and rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Cool.
But I think there was like 2 or 3 that I did over the weekend.
How dare you?
But I tapped 4 on accident, I immediately tapped 5, and it said it updated, so I don't know what the hell is wrong with it.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was totally an accident. But
I mean, we still have like 5 stars, but there's like 1 4-star rating that I can see, and it's real annoying.
Yeah, but I think in the average it went in just as 5 stars.
Sure.
I don't know. I have no idea. But So, moving on to our next one with a score of 19.5 in 12th place in our rankings.
I just noticed we have a review from Project Lindsay. I didn't see that one. No, these girls are a ball. It's hilarious listening to the girls in their 20s dissect Xenon, Cheetah Girls, and Lizzie Moore movie. When I listen, I feel like these girls are my friends.
Spoiler alert,
we are.
Dang, yeah.
It's an easy, enjoyable listen and should be added to everyone's podcast playlist.
Totally.
Sure.
So true.
Anyway.
What a nice, rate us on concise, iTunes. Well thought out review.
Yeah.
So number 12 is Pocahontas with a rating of 19.5. The original movie came out in 1995, so not too long ago. Wasn't that the year you were born?
It is the year of my birth.
That was Noelle's birthday, too. Noelle's year of her birth. this one did not do so well critically. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 57.
Yikes.
The consensus was Pocahontas means well and has moments of startling beauty, but it's largely a bland, uninspired effort with uneven plotting and an unfortunate lack of fun.
Deeply Yikes. Fair. Deeply fair.
Yeah, yeah, true. But, I mean, that's harsh. It made a total worldwide of $346 million against a $55 million budget. So, I mean, I guess you could say, like,
it's a success.
They didn't spend too much money on it. So
yeah, that's true.
Good.
That actually was pretty low budget.
Yeah, pretty low budget. It actually has two Oscar wins for Best Music for Original Song for Colors of the Wind and for Best Music Original Musical or Comedy Score for mm-hmm. Alan Menken, who is definitely a recipient of a gift basket from us. Alan Menken.
Sure, I don't really know who he is, but like, it's
he
fine.
Wrote, like, all the great songs. Like, okay. All the songs for Beauty and the Beast, all the songs for Pokemon. Okay. I mean, all the songs.
Dear Guest is my favorite Disney song.
I'm pretty sure Alan Menken wrote it. Wow. He has written everything. He has 8 Oscars. Which is pretty amazing.
It's more than me.
So there was one direct-to-video sequel for, and it was Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World.
I feel like I had that.
Yeah, I definitely saw it. It was where she married John Rolfe. And she goes
to okay, because she actually did, like, marry him and then go to England when she was, like, 16.
I do have a problem being super supportive of Pocahontas being a real top-tier princess, since she's based on a real historical figure, yet there is quite a lot of deviation from her actual story. The actual Pocahontas was around 10 or 11 at the time she met John Smith, and there is little to no evidence to support that there was any sort of romantic relationship between the two of them. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. That's definitely another thing that I wrote down. Like, we also sort of think of Pocahontas as being older and stuff like that. She died when she was 20 or 21, so wasn't old. No. Pocahontas did not live, like, a full and happy life. I mean, maybe she was happy, but something tells me probably not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I have
like
a feeling probably not.
Yeah, something tells me she was, like, forced to enter the life that she did. Mm-hmm. But she was fine, you know? Like, she entered, like, British high society and was, like, very... Like, people were shocked that she was married to the... What's his name? John Rolfe? Is that his name? People were shocked that they were married, not because of, like, her race or anything like that, but because she was a princess and he was just, like, a sailor.
A guy.
Like,
yeah.
That's why people were...
So he married up, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Outkicked his coverage, as
one
would say.
I know, like, honestly. True.
Realistically.
Yeah.
So that's all we got to say about that.
I don't know. I feel like I don't really have, like, that much to say about Pocahontas. I like that she's, like, woke and, like, environmentally friendly. But I don't know. I'm just, like, I find her a little bit boring. Even though
She's boring and she's not funny at all. You know, she doesn't have, like, a great relatable personality.
No, she's definitely not relatable. But also, I feel like I just have never really... This isn't a movie that I've, like, rewatched recently, which the point of our podcast, rewatching, is very important. So,
and it's not one that, like, I would want. It was on this weekend, and I was like, meh.
Nah, no.
Yeah.
I did, however, watch this weekend. CNN is doing a new special about the 2000s.
Did you not see? Oh, that's part of our...
TBD?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Because I watched the whole
Highly
thing.
Highly recommend.
So it was
so good,
actually
right?
really fun. Specifically loved, I know. I was like, Olivia's gonna love this because Tom Hanks is involved.
Oh, yeah,
I also loved
the DVR for that one. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah. I also liked, like, all the Survivor stuff and, like, that stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm adding this because I recommend it and it's going in there.
Yeah.
So number 11 is with a 20.5 score, the Tiana from The Princess and the Frog.
Wait, what was Pocahontas' score?
19.5.
Okay. So like it's honestly like none of these have been like that spectacularly different.
No,
like, they all sort of regress toward the mean.
Yeah, but there's definitely like there's like a 10 or what, you know, 10 yeah. 12 point disparity between them all. So like they kind of like fell into place pretty nicely.
Mhm.
So Princess and the Frog originally released in 2009, only made $267 million against a $105 million budget, so it did fine, but not great. Rotten Tomatoes score of 85%.
That's pretty good. The critics, for a new one, that's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, exactly. The critics said, the warmth of traditional Disney animation makes this occasionally lightweight fairy tale update a lively and captivating confection for the holidays. So I guess it was released on the holidays.
Sure.
It had 3 Oscar nominations, but no sequels, no spin-offs, no adaptations. It's still pretty young.
It doesn't have a ride.
Definitely, it doesn't have a ride. And while I did like this movie, I do love the Nola and the voodoo vibes, of course. I don't feel it was super memorable, as some of the other princess movies and music, as some of the other princess movies, and the music wasn't super strong, I didn't feel like. However, the story of Tiana is very empowering, and I like her as a character.
Yeah. I think, like, Tiana, obviously important, because she's the first Black princess.
Of course.
And, like, took them long enough, let's be real here.
Yeah.
But also, like, they did the first Black princess, and then they spend the entire, like, movie making her be a frog. You know? Like, yeah. That just sucks. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's not cool. So.
Yeah, and, like, the guy, her person, the guy, the prince
and,
that
like,
she
And, like, the
marries.
Villain was weird, that, like, voodoo guy. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it was a little scary for, like, really young kids. Like, it was a little scary.
I thought, if anything, he, like, wasn't that scary and wasn't that villainous, but maybe that's just me.
Well, the whole thing was that, like, he was working for, like, a demon kind of
great
feature
Love
person.
It.
So, like, it wasn't so much him that was scary. It was, like, the
demon.
Yeah, that whole thing that was
yeah,
scary.
Some of these villains are really scary. Like, I literally couldn't watch Snow White because the... Not Snow White. Which is the one with the weird... Snow White. Is she the one with the apple? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I literally couldn't watch. I was right at first, and then I like second guessed myself. It's a problem of mine.
Because she's really pretty at the beginning, and then she turns into like an old creepy witch. So, like.
Right.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't watch that because that lady scared me so much.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like.
She was scary!
Yeah, and I just think there just wasn't a lot of. I just don't think this story is super strong. The Princess and the Frog. I don't think like it was really a story that needed to be told.
Yeah.
I guess if we're like going through fairy tales,
just like
it probably wouldn't be the one.
Let her
pick
just
out.
Get with the hot prince. Like why
yeah,
I don't
and
understand.
He kind of sucks too. Like he's kind of a chauvinist. He's kind of a dick. Like he's yeah. not the greatest prince.
She's busy. She's trying to get her restaurant
yeah,
off the
trying
ground.
Trying to get her business going.
She's working really hard. She has her like spoiled friend who like. Is a debutante
yes,
or whatever? I don't remember.
Like
it was
that.
Very strange.
Yeah, socialite, basically.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's, like, the whole thing.
Yeah. There's just a lot going on with this movie that, like, there. And I think that's a problem, too, is there's just a lot going on. It's
yeah.
like, okay.
What year did The Princess and the Frog come out?
2009.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So, number 10, I feel like this might be a little controversial just because I think people who love this character, like, a lot. But this is actually a tie. So, 10 and 11 are a tie with also a score of 20.5 is Jasmine from Aladdin.
Do people love Jasmine?
I feel like people, like, really like Jasmine. I don't know.
Let us know if you love Jasmine. I think Jasmine's fine. But
the thing about Jasmine is the movie's not really about her.
Yeah.
So Aladdin was originally released in 1992, box office total of $504 million, highest grossing film of 1992. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 94%, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
The critical consensus is a highly entertaining entry in Disney's Renaissance era, which is something I think we'll probably talk about more in the future is the Disney Renaissance era, which was...
I mean, that's the reason why we have this podcast, is because
yeah.
we are children of the Disney Renaissance
yes,
era.
Yes, exactly. And there's about 8 to 10 movies, I think, that were released in that were considered the Disney Renaissance, and they're all amazing and should be ranked. But
We're not going to do that.
And, oh, also with the critical consensus, Aladdin is beautifully drawn and with near classic songs and a cast of scene-stealing characters, which is very true. It was nominated for 5 Oscars. It won 2 for Best Original Song for A Whole New World and Best Music Original Score for Alan Menken, another one of his Oscars. Sequels, spin-offs, and adaptation-wise, there was 2 direct-to-video sequels for Return of Jafar and Aladdin and the King of Thieves. I remember seeing Aladdin and the King of Thieves was really good. There was an animated TV.
I'm trying to figure out, like, why I didn't watch Aladdin that much as a kid. There must have been, like, something scary. Like, Jafar must have scared me or something. Like, as we've talked about, easily spooked.
It is a little bit more male-centric, I think. It, like, definitely...
Yeah, but I mean, I watched lots. Like, I had an older brother.
Yeah, like, I know we watched it because I think my brother liked the Aladdin franchise.
Yeah.
There was an animated TV series that aired for 86 episodes. 2 live adaptations. 2 live action adaptations are currently in development. Genies.
That's cool.
Yeah. Genies, a prequel from the 1992 movie, has been in development since 2015.
That's not going to get made.
which is so sad. And
is it?
I mean, I've heard like really that it could be really good.
Okay.
And also Aladdin, the live action version, scheduled for release on May 24th, 2019. I have a problem.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I have a problem with rating Jasmine super high just because she's not the main character in her movie. The story isn't really about Jasmine, and she is often overshadowed by stronger characters such as Genie. However,
Genie is so good.
Character. Exactly.
Like, R.I.P. Robin Williams, you were great.
Oh my god, yeah, absolutely.
But that's just, you know, one of the best roles. It's so good. But yeah, overall, I mean, Jasmine's fine. So, like, when I was sort of looking up, like, what do other people say about Jasmine? Because I clearly don't feel confident enough in, like, my own opinions on this. I don't know why I'm ranking it, but I don't, you know. Anyway. So, Jasmine is, like, one of the things about Jasmine, she was the first non-white princess. So, she's Arabic, which is cool. Like, this movie would not have been made 10 years later. Like, they're lucky that they got this movie in 1992.
Yeah.
And, like you said, she's not the main protagonist. According to Wikipedia, like, the people who made this movie said about her that she's, like, feistier than Belle and less naive than Ariel, which I kind of get. But she's also, like, not a very dynamic character. She hasn't really changed throughout the whole thing. And I did think it was cool that, like, as a princess, she rebels against the society that she's in and ends up getting the marriage law changed, which is very Mia Thermopolis, which, you know, we are here for.
Yes.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, Jasmine, kind of middle of the road for me.
Yeah, like, she's fine.
But I feel like, yeah, we have, like, a category in there that's sort of the societal impact and things like that. And I don't really think, like, Jasmine would have had the same... I don't know. I feel like people don't like Jasmine as much as they like other ones.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Also, I would like to say, since the Genies movie is not being made, R.I.P. Robin Williams again, I do love the casting of Will Smith for the Genie in Aladdin. I think of anybody, he could definitely be the one to, like, reprise that role.
Oh, he did that?
Yeah, for the 2019 Aladdin live action that's coming out.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, which, like, I think, like...
That's cool.
I'm excited. Like, that's...
Who's in that?
I closed out of the tab, but...
Do you have anything else to say about...
He is the Genie, so I'm very happy. Next on our list, so it would be number... So, 7th, So our number is a little off with the ties, but
that's fine.
7th is Cinderella with a score of 22.
What did I rank Cinderella?
I don't know what you ranked her, but
it was like my overall ranking.
22 was her score, and we both gave her 22.
Great, 22. Cinderella would be the one to, like, get a Taylor Swift song.
She totally would, for sure.
That is very Cinderella.
Maybe like White Horse, I feel like. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, that would be what would be playing as she, like, gets back to the house.
It's absolutely, you belong with me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's the Taylor Swift Cinderella song.
Well, like, White Horse would be, like, when her pumpkin, everything turns, like, back into the pumpkin when she gets back to the house. And You Belong With Me would be, like, when he's putting on the slipper, you know? Yeah. Like,
and 22
we could score the whole Cinderella movie with Taylor Swift songs, oh my God. Sure.
Taylor Memorable Swift moments. Starring in a remake of Cinderella, the ultimate white girl dream.
Oh my God. I don't really want to see Taylor Swift acting, though. No offense.
No, I mean, it's not ideal on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, she, like...
her and Taylor Lautner, Taylor Squared.
Well, and, like, not... from her music videos, she's definitely notorious for overacting. Just
a little bit.
It could be pretty bad.
Please welcome to the stage.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The original Cinderella movie was from 1950, so a good 67 years ago. Lifetime movie gross.
that made it sound like it was a Lifetime movie.
could be. Gross of $536 million. Rotten Tomatoes score of 97% positive.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know. Critical consensus was the rich colors, sweet songs, adorable mice, and endearing...
They were pretty colors and edibles.
I don't think they were edibles.
And animals.
Oh, I was like, what? sweet songs, adorable mice, and endearing, if suffering, heroine...
Mice are never adorable, as we learned in Ratatouille.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are rats, but
they're gross. And I don't want them making my clothes. No. The endearing, if suffering, heroine makes Cinderella a nostalgically lovely charmer.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
What?
The girl who found the mouse in her Zara dress.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, sorry.
ew. So it had 3 Oscar nominations, 2 direct-to-video sequels, Cinderella 2, It Dreams Come True, and Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. They were both terrible.
And Cinderella Story, and another Cinderella Story, and another Cinderella Story.
Yeah, basically. And a live-action adaptation produced by Walt Disney Pictures, released in 2015. This 2015 live-action adaptation was highly forgettable, but it did spark the live-action frenzy that we are experiencing today.
Yeah.
It had a worldwide gross of $543.5 million against a $100 million budget. Don't know why the budget was that hard. The scenery and the costuming were definitely the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
So Cinderella's castle is the center of 2 Disney theme parks, the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World and Tokyo Disneyland, and is the iconic symbol of the Walt Disney Company. Mm-hmm. And I gave this movie a bonus. I gave Cinderella a bonus because Cinderella is a culturally understood concept that has been used as a base
for a rags to riches story.
Exactly. It's
much like Aladdin.
Yeah. But like, I don't think it's as well, like, a Cinderella, I don't know. It's been used as a base for many other storylines, and I think she is really the one who put, like, the princesses on the map, and it is just, like, truly iconic.
Yeah, they were like, you know what would really make this whole princess thing take off? If we make it blonde, you know?
Exactly. And despite the character herself being a bit of a dullard, I think she, like, kind of got things started.
Yeah, she's so weird. She just sort of, like, waltzes around and, like, comes to herself and cleans and yeah, et cetera.
She got a bomb-ass castle out of the deal, so...
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I think she really has, like, her fairy godmother to thank for that. Like, where would she be without her fairy godmother? But apparently, her fairy godmother, not the queen in this story.
Yeah, Mimi, one of them.
Yeah. Brody's her fairy godmother.
Okay. He's a lot of things. Any other thoughts on Cinderella?
I mean, I definitely have things here, but it's a little weird. Like, it's just... the whole, like, when you watch the actual, like, movie version of Cinderella, you're like, this is so strange.
Like, it's very short, too. It's, like, 55 minutes. Like, yeah, it's very short.
I mean, we appreciate it. I think it's, like, 75. Like, I think it's, like, an hour and 15. I could be wrong.
I know I watched it, like, within, not, like, really recently, but when I rewatched it, like, a few years ago, I was like, holy shit, this movie is so short. Like, yeah. It's basically, like, an episode of TV. Like,
I know.
It's crazy. I'm like, okay, in the 1950s, that's why the budget, I don't know what the budget was, but it was probably low considering, I guess they were just hand drawing the whole thing, which yeah. I guess is hard.
I guess it's hard.
I don't know.
So one of the things that I found that I thought was interesting, it's a quote from Variety, and it's saying, it just really resonated me. It says that the film found more success in projecting the lower animals than its central character, Cinderella. Like, literally, the animals, like the mice that it portrays, are more like dynamic and three-dimensional than Cinderella.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And I think in the spin-offs, she is, because they're newer, they're...
You know what I just realized?
What?
The Evil Queen is not the villain in Cinderella.
It's the stepmom.
I know.
Yeah.
I said the Evil it's Queen. The that's not the same movie.
Yeah. It's not. It's the stepmom and stepsister. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
Because she marries into being a princess. I was like, wow, I'm such a genius. She's not, how am I coming up with this? Yeah, nope, she's not born a princess or, like, anything like that. She is married into being a princess. She's a Kate Middleton.
Or a Meghan Markle.
Probably more of a Meghan Markle, realistically.
Yeah.
I could definitely
see... She's more of a Diana.
Yes, very true. I mean, I could, however, see Cinderella being a suitcase girl on Deal or No Deal.
Oh, yeah, because that's the amount of personality that she has.
Basically. Chrissy Teigen was a suitcase girl, though, too.
Cool.
Good to know.
I know, but, like, they don't get to show any personality on the show.
Oh, no, for sure. No, they're like, oh, do you want to open it? Woohoo! Or, no, so sad. They have two faces. All right, moving on up to our number six, which is...
We're already at number six.
Yes, but we have another tie, so it's really sad.
Oh, okay.
So with 22.5 is Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Interesting.
The film was originally from 1989.
I think
I thought it was newer.
I definitely did too. I definitely thought it was like 1992 or something like that, but I guess
not. I don't like those late 80s kids like having that, you know? Like, no, that's a 90s thing. Give it back.
I don't know. I mean, you still got to watch it. But yeah, true. Ariel is an interesting princess to me because I feel like Ariel is very iconic because she's, like, not a human, you know? Like,
bitch.
She's the only one that's not a human, technically. Like, I guess Tiana kind of counts. But Tiana was,
like
turned
good,
back into a human.
Yeah,
you know?
She's also a frog.
Yeah.
Ariel's, like, a sexy fish person. Which spawned the Wikiwachi mermaids in Florida.
So weird. And, like... I don't know. I feel like there's this weird resurgence of mermaids. Like, people are trying to make mermaid culture happen with, like, Siren and things like that. I don't really get it, but it's fine. Siren's, like, a new scripted drama on the CW.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I know it...
That no one's watching.
I didn't know it started.
no.
Yeah, I know
it started
Siren,
months ago.
Like, the Siren from the Odyssey. The Sirens from the Odyssey, I believe, is the original Sirens. And also from, like, Peter Pan, the Sirens are, like, very interesting characters. I feel like that could be a really good show, but I feel like the CW is probably fucking it up somehow.
Yeah.
Which is sad. However, Little Mermaid...
Oh, it's Freeform, not the CW. Excuse me.
Okay. That might explain it. so, 92% positive on Rotten Tomato. Worldwide box office total in 1989 was only $211 million. Might be the lowest, which is crazy. Critical consensus was The Little Mermaid ushered in a new golden era for Disney animation with warm and charming hand-drawn characters and catchy musical sequence. I don't know if
the songs are so catchy.
They're very good. Alan Menken. Nominated for 3 Oscars. Won 2 for Best Music, Original Song for Under the Sea.
Yeah. And except I think I prefer Part of Your World.
Look
at this stuff.
No. And Best Music Original Score for none other than Alan Menken. Truly the greatest.
Alan Menken needs to, like, give someone else a chance.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like he should.
Obviously, he's the best, though. Like, okay. Do we want things to get worse?
Yes. Yeah. Ariel also is just fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Ariel is... She's so, like...
Young,
light and
vibrant,
and just young, except when, you know, she can't talk, which isn't great, but she's definitely, like, a little bit disobedient and rebellious. She doesn't make, like, good decisions, but she's trying to change her life.
Yeah.
And I think that that's cool. Like, she's brave.
Yeah. She's empowering in that.
She's bored.
She's
telling young girls to, like, follow their dreams and don't be afraid to go against the grain and be different, which I think is great.
Yeah. And, like, sure, she's doing all of this to, like, get a guy, but that's the only thing interesting happening in her
but
life.
But she didn't want to get, she didn't want the legs just to get the guy, though.
She wanted to be where the people are. She wants to see, them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Feet.
Yeah.
Flipping with fins. You don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping dancing. Strolling along down the, what's that word again?
Streets.
Up where they walk. Okay.
Up where they run.
Up where they stay all day in the sun.
Which, I mean,
unless
they're
me, I never go in the sun.
Yeah, that's true. Also, you're kind of in the sun in the ocean, too, so.
Yeah, you definitely get a little sunlight. Like, that's your only source of light.
Yeah, exactly. True.
If anything, humans spend less time in the sun. Anyway.
Yeah, realistically. So, as far as sequels, spinoffs, and adaptations, there's been quite a few. An animated series prequel premiered in late 1992 that ran for 31 episodes. Two direct-to-TV sequels, The Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea in 2000.
I loved The Little
really
Mermaid
good.
2.
The like, Daughter.
It gets hated on so much, but I loved Melody.
Was great. It was really good. And then The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Beginning in 2008. I don't think I ever saw that.
I mean, 2008. I was old
yeah,
for that.
I was a little too old for it. A live-action adaptation was announced in May 2016 and is currently in development. Hmm. And a stage musical adaptation ran on Broadway from November 2007.
I swear to God, if Bella Thorne plays Ariel, because he just can't find another redhead.
Nope. From November 2007 to August 2009 with 685 performances.
So wow.
It did very well.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Ariel is just very iconic. You know, she's a mermaid. She's very recognizable. I think she's very prominent in pop culture to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, just a fan, you know?
Yeah, definitely a fan. It's hard not to be a fan.
No.
It's a very fun movie. Sebastian, the lobster, was great. Scuttle was great.
He's not a lobster.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Crab.
Yeah, you're right. I'm, like, trying to picture him.
I see always greener.
And Scuttle's great. Everything's great. You know, it's great. Ursula is, like, crazy creepy, but, like, good. She's a great, like, she's very much...
Prince Eric's the hottest Disney prince.
Yeah, for sure. I love that Ursula was based off of a, like... drag queen, like that's who she was modeled off of, was a famous drag queen of that.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, she's modeled after, I can't remember who it is.
I feel like a lot of drag queens just model themselves off of Ursula.
Yeah, which, like, you know, simpatico. They're, you know, all the same.
Art imitates life, imitates
exactly.
art.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you. Perfect.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's very fun movie. Like, not a ton of...
Is it colorful? You're underwater.
Yeah.
There's that, like, cooking sequence where, like, that chef tries to kill Sebastian.
Yeah, exactly. There's not, like, a ton of, things to learn from it. Like, it's not, like, crazy, like, informative. But it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I think we needed it.
Don't trust girls named Vanessa, you know? It's a great thing to learn.
I'm looking at you, Nick File.
looking at you, Zac Efron.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, so true. So our next tie at 25.
Tied with The Little Mermaid?
No.
Oh.
These next two are tied.
Okay.
With 25 points apiece, the first one we're going to talk about is Rapunzel from Tangled.
Okay, so I need to quickly, like, represent Bailey's thoughts here. I asked Bailey for a little bit of feedback because she is a much bigger Disney fan than I am, TBH. You know, like, she works at Disneyland, etc. Probably shouldn't say that, but she does. And she...
Just walk into the park and be like, Bailey! See what happens.
Do you know where Bailey works? Literally everyone at Disneyland's like, I have no idea who that is. Like, no one at Disney
Bailey,
seems to know each other.
There are thousands of us here. Which Bailey? Bailey 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. But... So, anyway, she was saying that Rapunzel is her favorite Disney princess, and her reasoning was, Rapunzel is my capital Q, capital U, capital E, capital N, queen. And she says, she is strong-willed to control of her own destiny. The soundtrack is full of bops.
True.
Yeah. And she's just the best. And she and Flynn equally needed each other, but she was an independent queen.
Yeah, I kind of said the same thing. I loved this movie and I rated it pretty high. Yeah. I think it's a very cute movie. The music is amazing. I love how Rapunzel is stubborn.
What's like one song from Tangled? Excuse me, like not being able to remember.
The At Last I See the Light.
At Last I See the Light. So good. Okay. And, oh. What's the Mother Knows Best? What's the other one where she's like painting the wall and stuff like that? I don't know. It's been a minute. Sorry, Rapunzel.
But like as soon as they would start, I could sing every word, you know?
Yeah.
I love how Rapunzel is stubborn and relatable, and even though everything doesn't go right for her all the time, she like perseveres, she's creative, she's curious and determined. I think she's great.
Yeah.
The movie is from 2010, so it's pretty new.
When Will My Life Begin?
Yes. $260 million budget. Also, it's really nice to, you know, like, give Mandy Moore a career back, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So, it had $260 million budget, made $592 million. I don't know why the budget was so big on this movie.
What was the budget?
$260 million.
Yeah, that is definitely bigger.
Yeah.
But are the other budgets adjusted for inflation?
I mean, this is 2010.
Okay. No, I know, but, like, this one would be higher because it's not adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of them that have the higher budgets are, like, within the last 20 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
25 years. But, like, Princess and the Frog the year before had a $105 million budget.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, like, over twice that budget. Which is great.
Yeah, I think that probably a lot of that is going to the talent there. A lot of it's going to, like, Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi. Is that his name?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think Mandy Moore at that time, like, could really command that much pay, though.
I don't know. Who played the mom?
I have no idea.
Cool. So Rapunzel to me as like a character is really interesting because I think in the traditional like Rapunzel storyline,
I don't think she was that much of a character.
She's very boring. Like she's like, oh, my one character trait is that I have long hair. And then in
magical hair.
Yeah, in the movie, I feel like that's literally the least interesting, the least important thing about her.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool. And I just find this character fairly like believable as a young girl who's like never been out of her house.
She's so fun too.
Yeah, she's just like fun loving. Everything is exciting to her. It's just, I don't know, it's a fun, she's a very interesting and fun character.
Yeah. Critically, the movie did really well also. 89% positive. The consensus was that while far from Disney's greatest film, Tangled is a visually stunning, thoroughly entertaining addition to the studio's classic animated canon, which is totally true.
Yeah.
It had one Oscar nomination. It had a TV sequel, Tangled Before Ever After, and a TV series. So the TV movie sequel. And then there was a TV series based on the film, Tangled the Series, and it had one season with 22 episodes so far. It's currently running.
Oh,
and cool. There was a short film, Tangled Ever After, that was released in 2012. I believe it was shown before Frozen?
Maybe. I just feel like Tangled as a movie, it doesn't really have the same like spin-off opportunities that something like Frozen or like Moana or something like that could have, because Tangled or Frozen and Moana have like I put those in sort of the same tier because I feel like those are the most recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in like Frozen and Moana, they put in these weird like extra characters. Like you could totally have a show of Frozen that's just Olaf. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
It doesn't, I don't know. You just have all these extra little characters and I feel like you don't really have that in Tangled. I think you have like her and Flynn and that's it.
Yeah, because the horse and what's...
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
The chameleon and the horse don't, like, talk.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, like, the animals and, like, the side characters that...
They definitely did a better job with the horse in Frozen.
Yeah, well, and they have... Well, it's a reindeer. But... so...
Oh, my God.
Still a hoofed animal. But the horse and the chameleon don't talk. So like, while they're cute characters, there's not like a lot of potential for them. Where like the snow, you know, like you can fully.
You would buy their stuffed animal. You wouldn't watch their TV show.
Totally, completely agree.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that Rapunzel is a good character. She's very talented, you know. Mm-hmm. She can like fight and she can like paint and she can sing. Sure.
She can braid her hair like a boss.
I know.
And like I love how the one takeaway I very frequently remember about this movie is that like her hair goes from like a mile long and then she braids it and it like goes down to her butt. And it's like, wait, what?
That's
like,
honestly how I feel sometimes though when I braid
it. No, absolutely not. I mean like it's like definitely shorter, when it's straight, but like
when I braid it.
It's over half the length cut off. I'm like, interesting. What kind
it's
of
a really
braid
interesting
you do in there?
Fishtail situation.
Yeah, it's just like wrap upon wrap upon. It's just like in wrapping upon itself.
Cool.
Okay, so that tie for fifth place. Yes. With another score of 25 is Mulan from the 1998 film Mulan.
Great. Love that. I love that like she and Pocahontas, like they get movies named after themselves. Yeah. Because I don't know, like.
And Moana.
And Moana. But I feel like they kind of stopped doing that. Like they started giving them like Tangled and Frozen and, you know, Princess and the Frog.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know what they would have named Mulan.
Well,
like,
and I think with Tangled, I think because I like that Tangled is Tangled because
it's
Flynn.
It's not Rapunzel.
Flynn. Flynn Rider. Is a pretty big, like, he's definitely a co-star. Yeah. So, like, I think calling it just Rapunzel, while it is mainly about her, obviously, mm-hmm. I like that they're like, oh, no, it's not just you know? It's not just Rapunzel.
Cool.
And it's a cute name. I think Tangled's cute.
Mulan's great.
It is.
I think, like, everyone can agree that, like, this is a great movie, great mm-hmm. music. When will my reflection show? You know, like, it's just so good.
Yeah, that, when Christina Aguilera, and I think it's, like, 98 Degrees, sing Reflection together, it's, like, no words. There are no words to describe. So this movie had a worldwide box office total of $304 million against a $90 million budget, so it performed pretty well.
Cool.
Rotten Tomatoes score of 86%.
Not
positive.
Great.
Yeah. Mediocre, kind of the middle of the road. So the critics said while exploring themes of family, duty, and honor, Mulan breaks new ground as a Disney film while still bringing vibrant animation and sprightly characters to the screen. Obviously, like with Mushu, who was like the bomb, Eddie Murphy.
Sure.
So good. Like, there are so many quotes that, like, mm-hmm. so it's such a quotable movie. Thanks to Eddie Murphy. One Oscar nomination, didn't win. Spin-off-wise, there was one direct-to-video sequel with Mulan 2. Don't think I saw it.
That sounds familiar. Maybe I did, but I don't really
I know
remember.
She's married to Shang.
Yeah.
But I don't know the rest of the plot line.
Come on.
And a live-action adaptation is scheduled to be released March 27th of 2020.
That's going
to
be lit.
But it is on it. While it's 2 years away, it is on the docket.
Like they have a cast and stuff like that. So I think that one's actually going to happen.
Yeah, it is. I think it's for sure going to happen. Based off the Chinese myth that may or may not be true, but I mean, it's like a myth. So it's very empowering to young girls and teaches them that they can be just as good and as strong as the boys, which is great.
Love that. But what I don't love is that she has to like pretend to be a boy in order to like get the same level of respect.
Yeah. But
and I think that does show a lot about like the way that women are treated, but
yeah, and
I think
that's
really
like historical relevance. I don't think you could have done that differently.
I mean, have you seen Motocrossed? So
but like that's not a historical piece.
I think it is now.
Okay, but like not like historical as in like what
1600s
China or maybe prior? I don't know when it's set.
I'm sorry. I have literally no clue.
I'm not sure what, like, century it's in, but yeah, it was a long time ago, China, and motocross was in the 90s. So.
I think it was in the 2000s.
Okay, 2000s.
Anyway, I'm saying, like...
even worse for your case.
But I was saying, I don't know, I think, like, you could have definitely had a female warrior be getting that level of respect. Like, what about, like, Joan of Arc, you know?
The myth is probably that, the gender equality part of that myth is probably true.
Fair. But I just think that, like, it's like, cool, all of this, like, empowerment and stuff. Like, she still, in order to be empowered, has to dress up like a boy.
However, at the end, when she does reveal that she's a woman, like, she is given the credit for saving China, which is, like, it's very, like...
casually saving China.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, even that, like, ending sequence when, you know, they're, like,
I'm just saying, like, that was my China. Hesitation with Mulan.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's just kind of, like, a beautiful sentiment, I think.
Sure. Anything else about Mulan?
No.
Or should we move on?
Mulan?
Move on.
Mulan.
Okay,
good. So number four with a score of 25. What?
Four with a score.
With a score of 25.5 was Moana.
Okay.
From the 2016 movie Moana.
Moana is interesting.
The self-titled debut movie.
Yeah, what I like about Moana is that, like, she doesn't have a love interest. Love that.
No, she... But she's
like, super, the Rock is not her love interest.
She's a little young, too, so...
No, but, like... But
the demigod is not her love interest.
10 years old.
I know, but, like, for modern sake, like, it would just be kind of rough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's great that, like... There's a princess movie where she, like, doesn't have a love interest.
Yeah, and she, like, kicks ass at saving the day and ruling her own, like...
She kicks ass at kicking ass.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And protecting her own kingdom. It's not even, like, ruling it. It's not even, like, asserting her will. It's, like,
well,
her
she does a good job, like, when she gets back, too. Yeah. Like, in, like, taking over, taking the reins.
And, like, restoring her kingdom to what it used to be.
Exactly, exactly. I totally agree. The movie did very well with a $150 million budget. It made $643 million.
I definitely thought it made more than that, but that's fine.
Yeah. The Rotten Tomatoes score was 96% positive, which is very good. The critics said, with a title character as three-dimensional as its lush animation and a story that adds fresh depth to Disney's time-tested formula, Moana is truly a family-friendly adventure for the ages, which is so true. It had two Oscar nominations, no wins, no sequels or spin-offs or adaptations yet, but that would be a very fast turnaround.
Yeah.
Disney has been accused of appropriating Polynesian mythology and culture by allegedly perpetuating settler colonist practices of exploiting and erasure by utilizing the knowledge and narratives of Native peoples to spur a profit, which is like... kind of a stretch.
It definitely is all these like white people at Disney getting rich off of it.
Yes. The film also takes specific cultural elements from a variety of Native Pacific groups and incorporates them into one generalized portrayal of Polynesian culture. This conglomeration of cultures has been regarded as degrading to the diversity of the Pacific islands, falsely reducing all of Polynesia to a single cultural entity. However, in my opinion, the movie actually sparked an interest in a Native group of people that children in the U.S. specifically very rarely receive significant education about in a part of the world they more than likely have had little interaction with. So
yeah, but I think, like, they definitely want to have interaction down there, you know, like little kids want to go to Hawaii.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like all of like the Pacific Islands and French Polynesia and all that. I mean, that's like, I never learned about that in school. And I think it definitely sparked an interest in that part of the world that, like, we don't really get educated about.
Yeah,
that
no,
often.
It is a super interesting, like, piece of history.
That
and
culture,
it's so
we
interesting
just don't learn that much about.
We don't, because it's all so recent, too.
Yeah.
We definitely forget, like, how recently all of this stuff was happening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to go that far back.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I also love that a Native Hawaiian...
Auli Carvalho.
Was chosen to voice Moana, and she did such an amazing job.
She's so pretty.
She's so talented.
And now she's on that other show, that, like, fake Glee.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what it's called. Like, I can't remember. Like, Rise or something like that?
Yeah.
I love the added star power of Dwayne Johnson. And I love that the character of Moana, as we said, is very empowering. She's stubborn and relatable and is able to chase her dream while also in pursuit of a very noble cause and trying to save her people from potential famine.
which is, like, great.
Yeah, great. I mean, that's definitely noble cause. Like,
yeah, she has, like, such a good heart, you know?
For sure. She wants the best. She wants to, like, run free, but she wants to run free for her people.
That's awesome.
I also, like, underrated villain, that, like, shiny dude. You know what I mean? Like, he was great. I loved him. Little shiny crab man.
Oh, the one that's, like, under the earth?
Shiny. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I liked him. Okay. Anyway. I was like, I can relate.
I like the twist. The twist is good, too. I like the twist. What's
the twist? I don't remember.
Like, how the Mother Earth, like, turns into the bad guy.
Oh, yeah. And it's also, like, it's all a good message with, like, global warming and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, no, totally.
Obviously very pertinent, very important. Yeah. The world is dying.
Yeah.
Who's next?
All right. Number 3 with a score of 26.
Think about who we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
And then figure it out. Yeah.
Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
No, wait. Okay.
Belle from 1991's Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Wow. I personally really love Belle. One of the things that was really interesting, like, from a character perspective on Belle, one of the things that I did was I compared her to Ariel, because Belle was the movie that came directly after mm-hmm. The Little Mermaid. And, like, a lot of things about Belle are completely opposite to Ariel.
Yes.
So, like, for example, Belle sacrifices her own freedom for her father. Like, mm-hmm. Belle puts herself in the place of her father being captured by the Beast. And Ariel pretty much does exactly the opposite. And, like, she leaves, and then, like, her dad has to, like, deal with his daughter being gone, obviously. Like, we don't see that, but I'm presuming that's what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's an opposition there in, like, the way that they deal with freedom, and, like, how they consider others as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ariel also, like, obviously much more self-centered.
Yeah, I think Belle is, like, very altruistic.
Yeah. And then also another thing, unlike Ariel, she gets to know the guy before falling in love. Like, mm-hmm. Ariel very much, like, love at first sight. She's like, this human man, like, if I get with him, he will allow me to, like, live the life that I want,
mm-hmm.
kind of. And Belle, on the other hand, like, it takes her a long time to fall in love with the Beast, and, like, despite his physical attractiveness.
Yeah, and I think also with that, though,
just a little,
that, like, he starts off kind of, like, he starts off hard to love, you know? And, like, he learns to be a better person, or better
being
through her. Yeah, being through her also.
Yeah.
But, like, he needs her, too.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, any princess that's going to be played by Emma Watson is, like, a princess that I'm a fan of.
But, like, I didn't love her
as... No, but I like Emma Watson in general.
Love Emma Watson, for sure. So, the 1991 movie had a box office total of $425 million. A Rotten Tomatoes score of 94%. Consensus was...
What was the budget?
It didn't give me a budget.
I mean, it did, but, like, we couldn't find it.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely had a budget. I just don't know what it was. The consensus overall was that it was enchanting, sweeping romantic, and featuring plenty of wonderful musical numbers. Beauty and the Beast is one of Disney's most elegant animated offerings. It was nominated for 6 Oscars, and it won 2 for Best Original, Best Music Original Song for Beauty and the Beast, and Best Music Original Score for none other than Alan Menken. And it won a Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, and was the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that really, like, says a lot. Like, yeah. This was the first one to be nominated for Best Picture. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, first animated film ever to be nominated for Best Picture. And it won Best Motion Picture at the Golden Globes.
But not the Oscars.
No, not the Oscars.
Okay. It's an important distinction.
Yes, obviously. But still, I mean, it's a good win. It had 2 direct-to-video follow-ups, Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas. Very good.
I had that.
Yeah, me too. 1997, and Beauty and the Beast, Belle's Magical World, 1998. The Enchanted Christmas had great songs, too.
I honestly don't remember any of them, but probably.
It was really good.
Because I remember liking The Enchanted Christmas.
Yeah, it was really good. A live-action spin-off series, Disney's Sing Me a Story with Belle, that ran for 26 episodes in 1995. I had no recollection of this.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The first Disney animated film to be adapted into a Broadway musical, which was massively successful.
Where's Montana when you need her?
It ran on Broadway for 13 years, from 1994 to 2007, with 5,461 performances.
That's crazy.
Was the 10th longest running show in Broadway history. And the Broadway show has grossed more than $1.4 billion and has been played in 13 countries and 115 cities.
Casual.
Yeah. And the 2017 live action adaptation starring Emma Watson, Luke Evans, and Josh Gad made a worldwide box office total of $1.26 billion. It was the 13th highest grossing film of all time against a measly $160 million budget, and it was nominated for 2 Oscars.
Wow. So amazing.
This franchise has been wildly successful, which obviously added, I think, to the boosting of the score, for me at least. Just like
the beasting of the score?
The beasting of the score. It beasted every part, everything it could.
It mauled it all.
The reason why it has done so well is because it's such a dynamic movie. Characters are pretty dynamic.
You know that Alex Pettifer and Vanessa Hudgens?
For
Beastly?
Oh.
You didn't mention that, but I'm just saying that was a thing that we all remember. Don't pretend like you don't. Remember when Alex Pettifer had a career? TBT.
And kind of.
And then he was like such an asshole that like no one wanted to work with him. That's why he doesn't get work anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think that might be
slander. I don't know. Allegedly.
Yeah. I just think that this franchise obviously had legs, and it ran with them.
Unlike Little Mermaid.
I think the live-action Little Mermaid could be interesting, but there's just, like, a lot.
I feel like it was really long. It was definitely, like, a beautiful movie in that it kind of looked like a cartoon, but it was live-action. I don't know. Like, it was good. Emma Watson singing voice. The live-action one.
Oh, yeah. Her singing voice was just,
it left a little bit to be desired, but I understand what you were doing. Like, an actual French girl there at that time, like, wouldn't have had that good of a singing voice.
However, when I...
And Emma Watson was born in France, by the way.
I want my musicals to have great singers, you know? Fair, and I think she was kind of overshadowed by Luke Evans and Josh Gad a little bit. I think that the Gaston character just really...
Yeah. Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was right. She was born in Paris. Okay. I was just checking.
But yeah, I think it was, however, the Belle character is the story is incredibly empowering, and shows courage, bravery, sacrifice, and the importance of education.
Cool.
Which is great.
But I will say, like, it was the importance of self-education. Like, she wasn't really educated by anyone else.
No, but in the live-action movie, she's like an engineer, you know, like, it's important to find a way to be educated.
Yeah. Even if that is teaching yourself.
Yeah, because I don't think back then, especially for women in Europe, that education was a huge option.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, number two,
there's only 2 left. So, maybe you've, like, deduced this, but maybe it also might come as a shock to you. Because, honestly, it's kind of coming as a shock to me.
Yeah, there was, we flipped these.
Really?
You had.
Are they tied?
No. One has 26.5 and the other has 27.
Okay.
I gave our second place the only 30 score.
Wow. That's shocking.
Yes. Our second place was Elsa from 2013's Frozen.
Yeah. Elsa, if anything, she's a queen, not a princess, but it's fine.
Yeah, true.
She was a princess at one point.
Yeah, she started as a princess, so it counts. Yeah. So, worldwide box office for Frozen, $1.28 billion.
With a B.
With a B.
You definitely wrote million on the notes.
Yeah, I don't know if, I guess I didn't, I don't know, yeah.
And I was like, no,
it's a billion. That was definitely a mistake. $1.28 billion against a $150 million budget.
pretty high. Good.
Yeah.
Casual.
Yeah. You know.
That's like a country's GDP, probably.
Yeah. Highest grossing animated film of all time. 12th highest grossing film of all time. Highest grossing film of 2013. Rotten Tomatoes score of only 90%. The critical consensus was that it was beautifully animated, smartly written, and stocked with sing-along songs. Frozen adds another worthy entry to the Disney canon. I think it deserves a little bit higher praise than that, but that's just me. 2 Oscar wins, one for Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, and Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Song for Let It Go.
Let It Go!
I don't think that was on key.
That was when the key changes.
Oh, okay.
She's like, let it go, let it go, get all the fact.
You nailed it.
I did.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I did not wait for you to listen back to that.
Okay. No, it was great.
Yeah.
At the end, during the bridge, when she changes it, that's the best part.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I just don't know if you're hearing what you're singing.
No, I think I am.
Okay.
I think I am.
Okay. Well, confidence is key.
I think, how dare you? Yeah, confidence is key, and I was on key, so.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I know. Right.
So there was an animated short sequel, Frozen Fever, premiered in 2015, a 1-hour making of TV special, The Making of Frozen, Return to Arendelle, a holiday featurette, Olaf's Frozen Adventure, premiered in 2017, a feature-length sequel titled Frozen 2 is set for release in November 27th, 2019, Broadway musical adaptation premiered in March 2018. And it was truly a cultural phenomenon in a mid-year report of the 100 most used baby names conducted by Baby Center. Elsa,
and also referenced on our last minisode.
Yes. Elsa was ranked number 88. It was the first time the name had appeared on the site's chart. By November 2014, over 3 million Frozen costumes had been sold in North America alone. And just for a little perspective, that's only 1 year after the movie had premiered.
Only?
Yes, only 1 year. Wait times for character meet and greets at Disney parks regularly exceeded 4 hours. And the Maelstrom ride at Epcot's Norway Pavilion in Walt Disney World was closed and replaced with a Frozen-based attraction, which opened in 2016.
Yeah.
Cool. Which was a fast turnaround for a ride.
Elsa is interesting to me, but I feel like I can only really talk about Elsa in comparison to our number one. So I don't know if we just want to get there or
we
not.
We can just scooch. Yes.
Our number one is Anna.
Yes.
Anna?
Anna. Okay. With a score of 27. I gave her a 29. You gave her a 25.
My scores were overall lower, which is, you know,
and
a
much closer
theme.
Together.
I think Anna is, that's hard to say, because I'm, like, everyone I know his name is Anna. Anna is much more, like, relatable, I think. Like, she's definitely one of the most relatable and realistic princesses in every fact other than falling in love with Hans. But, like, other than that, I think she's great, and she's really funny, and she, like, I think, like, honestly, a scene that was revolutionary was when she wakes up in the morning and looks like garbage. Like, I feel like that is just such, it's such a small thing, but to, like, see a Disney princess looking like that first thing in the morning, deeply relatable. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, totally.
Great to see.
Yeah, I put Elsa a smidge higher than Anna because...
Yeah, I'd like to know why.
3 reasons. One, she has magical powers. And that's awesome.
Okay, but, like, that's not her personality.
Don't care. She has magical powers.
Really.
2, she's a queen.
Okay, we're ranking princesses.
Whatever.
So.
She was a princess, and now she's a queen. And 3, she is the more reasonable of the 2 and definitely thinks through her decisions
unlike Anna. Anna's okay. much more impulsive.
I can like, as a general human, like, I definitely can appreciate someone who thinks through their decisions. In terms of, like, historical Disney princesses, they don't think through their decisions. Like,
exactly.
They don't, which makes Anna, like, more likely. Like, she's definitely the younger sister in
yeah,
that. I said Anna again, Anna. Like,
because Elsa, like, was, when their parents died, she was, like, propelled into that, like, adult role.
Yeah, and I just, like, that... completely... isolating herself and, like, I guess doing it to protect her sister, but, like, explain to your sister why you're protecting. I don't know. Like, the whole thing was kind of mean.
Yeah, there's a lack of communication for sure.
She's mean and antisocial, and I don't really like the way that Elsa. Like, I think one of the most interesting things about any character in any, like, piece of media is the way that they interact with other characters. Mm-hmm. And with Elsa, you don't really get to see her interact with other characters that much.
Yeah, I think. I'll give you that Anna is, or like, Anna is, technically the main character.
Yeah, and Anna gets to, like, hang out with Kristoff. Is that his name?
Yeah, Kristoff.
Wow. I mean, don't be shocked at, like, me literally not knowing anyone's name. And, like, Olaf and all that stuff. Like,
and the reindeer.
They get to hang out. And what's the
not
reindeer's name?
I don't know. Okay. Not horse?
Yeah. And I mean, sure, Hans, but, like, Hans is barely in the movie.
Yeah, he, like, owns a shack.
And to be fair, like, she was very trusting. Like,
yeah.
She had never been hurt before, so she
but
was
she,
trusting.
Yeah, because she was a princess, and, like, that's how princesses work. You know, like, she's, like...
she's a princess.
She's definitely, like, very naive and yeah. sheltered, but she's a very happy spirit, and she's very fun.
And
but,
she's funny.
Yeah, she's funny.
I don't think Elsa's funny.
No. She's kind of, like, sarcastic at points, though, so she's a little funny, but she's not as funny at definitely as Anna. Yeah. Negative points for Anna trying to marry a guy she just met.
Fair. But whatever.
Like, it's nice that they finish each other's sandwiches, but, like, nope.
No.
Not marriage material.
I feel like finishing someone's sandwich, like, that does not a marriage
Joey from
make.
Friends
I would finish
would
almost
approve.
Anyone's sandwich.
Depends on the sandwich.
That's very true. If it was, like, a herb grilled chicken from, like, Lemonade, I'd finish that sandwich.
I mean,
I've been craving that sandwich for so long. Oh, it's so good.
I think that's fairly rare sandwich because, you know,
I think it's, like,
to,
one
like,
of the most popular sandwiches in Los Angeles.
I mean, I think, like, a double with cheese is probably
okay. More. That's a burger.
That's a sandwich. It's a piece of meat between
okay,
two pieces
okay,
of
okay,
bread.
Okay.
In the same way that a hot dog is. A sandwich.
Okay, whatever. But, like...
we're having a sandwich fight.
That's fine. Is, like, a jelly donut a sandwich?
No, it's not a piece of meat between two pieces of bread.
Does it have to be a piece of meat?
Or, like, yeah.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich is not a sandwich.
A protein between two pieces of bread. And jelly is not a protein. It kind of works. Kind of.
Okay, so, like, if you had just a jelly sandwich, it wouldn't be a sandwich?
No, because it's, like, toast with jelly on it.
With jelly between two slices of bread.
That's just, like, a piece of toast with another piece of toast on top.
Okay, that's untrue. Your logic is flawed. And I think you know that. Like, I'm looking at your face, and I think you know that.
I mean, I don't know. I think a jelly sandwich is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich
like
minus
a
the
peanut
protein.
Butter and jelly sandwich minus the jelly.
In the same way that, like, a veggie sandwich is like a BLT minus the bacon, minus the protein, you know?
Yeah. But, like, I feel like you can have a, like, people generally don't, but I feel like you could have a sandwich without protein.
Yeah, but then, yeah, but, like.
Like, you can have, like, vegetables.
But
and,
in
like,
general. It's like a protein. Like, in the way that a burger is still a sandwich. And I think on some menus, like, a burger is, like, in the sandwich section.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with you on that, but I'm just saying, like, when I say a sandwich, like, when I say a sandwich, I would mean, like a chicken sandwich.
Variety.
I wouldn't mean, like, if I meant a burger, I would say a burger.
Okay. Okay.
What else do you have to say about Elsa?
I just love her. I think she's great. I love Frozen. Frozen's the best. It's such a good movie. I saw it in theaters, and it was awesome.
I actually didn't. I think I, like, watched Frozen in, like, definitely suboptimal conditions, like, on a road trip in the back of the car. But it was good. It was cute. It was fine. You know, like, but the characters were probably the best part of it. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
totally. Which, like, I'm a character-driven kind of girl, so, like, I like when a movie is character-driven.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think, character-driven more than, like, the plot.
For sure. For sure. The plot is a little screwy.
Do we have anything else to say?
I don't think so.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
If you have any issues with our rankings, feel free to email us at tbtamp@gmail.com. I'm expecting some angry emails, and I honestly don't really blame you. Like, I don't really stand by my answers to that.
I totally stand by my opinions.
I tried my best. I tried to do a lot of research, and I tried to just really, like, get in tune with myself and, like, figure out what my answers needed to be.
I think we're pretty in tune with what's necessary.
I don't know.
Honestly. I was.
Okay. Of course you did.
I'm going to take that for myself. And
yeah. So follow us on Instagram at TBTAMP. And you can follow me on my personal Instagram and Twitter at Miranda Johnson. MirandaJohnzon.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mac is Cheesy. MACK is Cheesy. And you can see everything you need to know about the podcast on our website at tbtamp.com.
Great.
You can also follow our Instagram at TBT.
I already said that.
Oh, I didn't think so. At TBTAMP, in case you didn't get it the first time.
Sure. And then also we have a Redbubble page where we upload, like, stickers and stuff like that that you can buy and, like, put on everything that you love, which is fun. We have, like, Lizzie McGuire and Princess Diaries and all, you know, all the good stuff. And then also we have you can rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, scroll to the bottom of this page or our scroll to the bottom of the podcast page.
On the podcast.
Yes, scroll to the bottom of the podcast page where all the episodes are and rate us 5 stars. It's really easy. Scroll to the bottom, click 5 stars.
It's really easy, except Olivia can't do it.
Well, when I'm reaching across the table at a restaurant, you know, it becomes a little more difficult, but please do it in the comfort and safety of your own home. Not yet. In the comfort and safety of your own home, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I think that's about it. Next week, we're going to talk to you about Hercules. But before we do that, we will have a mini episode up all about, like, TBT news and things like that. So, yeah, we also put one of those out on Tuesday. So, if you missed that, go and listen to it. I'm sure it's great. We haven't recorded it yet, but I'm sure it's great.
We're about to.
Yeah, we have lots of good stories. So, get excited.
Yeah.
See you on Tuesday.